This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Yeah, that's me, Sue. I'm so brave, right?
Oh, that's you.
That's me. Full of bravery. But we've had a great show. We had a great conversation with Scott Jennings. You can always use the Rewind app to go back to that. Johanna Berkman in the first hour was really good on some of this stuff at Harvard. Dwayne Patterson's coming up here in a second. But let me play Carolyn from the briefing today. And I'm going to just be honest, because I'm always honest with the audience. There are aspects of this legislation that I'm not comfortable with. I'm not comfortable with the fact that DOGE seemingly hasn't done enough work. But there's realities of politics, not only the math, we covered this a little bit in the last hour, but just the reality of what they can do with reconciliation. I think Dwayne's going to be really good at explaining that here in a moment. But here's Carolyn.
The blatantly wrong claim that the One Big Beautiful Bill increases the deficit is based on the Congressional Budget Office and other scorekeepers who use shoddy assumptions and have historically been terrible at forecasting across Democrat and Republican administrations alike. For example, just before Congress enacted the original Trump tax cuts at the end of 2017, the same CBO projected that growth would average a mere 1.9% over the next 10 years. However, by 2019, actual growth had surged to 3.4% once the Trump tax cuts went into effect, exceeding the CBO forecast by nearly 2 full percentage points. The CBO's latest forecast makes the same anemic growth assumptions as they did in 2017, missing the impact of the One Big Beautiful Bill. The CBO assumes long-term GDP growth of an anemic 1.8%, and that is absurd. The American economy is going to boom like never before after the One Big Beautiful Bill is passed. The largest middle-class tax cut in history, massive deregulation, and the most aggressive domestic energy exploration ever will fuel small businesses, further boost private investment, increase workers' wages, and supercharge economic growth.
Okay, well, I want to believe a lot of that. I really do. And, you know, it was interesting. I think, Sue, both you and I took notice when Johanna Berkman was on talking about Harvard a couple of hours ago, and she pointed toward, you know, the tax on the endowments, which was actually put in place during the previous Trump administration, which now in this bill is going to be increased even more. That's fascinating to me.
It is.
Dwayne Patterson is back with us. He writes at hotair.com. He hosts the Dwayne's World podcast. How are you, Dwayne, this afternoon? Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. I'm doing great.
We have not spoken specifically about the big, beautiful bill. Elon Musk, let me play Elon here, because this is kind of making some news. As you know, he's got the CBS interview this weekend.
You know, I was like disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the DOGE team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on DOGE gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big, or it can be beautiful. But I don't know if it can be both.
So that doesn't exactly match up with what we heard from the press room in Carolyn. So I'm very curious about your perspective here because, you know, there's certainly things to like, but I do think there's some questions about the level of spending. Even Josh Hawley and Senator Johnson are trying to raise those right now. Where are you on this?
Well, I think where this thing comes down to is the Senate is going to take some of the things that the House had to throw in there to get the Northeast Republicans on board. And, you know, like the SALT deductions and all that stuff, the Senate will probably claw a lot of that back. They will probably have a bill that's got a lot more spending cuts in it when all is said and done. And then it's going to go to conference committee. And it's going to go to conference committee for a week or two. And honestly, what's going to happen is you've got people like Mike Lawler, who I respect immensely from New York. He's a very valuable member of the Republican conference. Northeast liberal who has to fight for the SALT deduction because his constituents demand it, being in a blue state like New York. He's now done his job. He went from a $10,000 deduction in the Big Beautiful Bill to $40,000 deduction. And he can go back to his constituents and say, I fought, I did everything I said I was going to do. It goes to the Senate. They're going to be like, no, we're not going to do that. They may claw it down to 12 or somewhere like that. It's going to go to conference, and in conference, it's like haggling over a Tijuana serape. It's going to end up being 20. You know, it'll be somewhere in the middle, and
right.
Everybody's going to be miserable about it. But that's going to be where it's at, and it will pass both houses. That's what's going to happen. As far as Elon Musk's complaint, and I respect him a lot, and I understand his complaint. From my understanding, and Caroline didn't address it specifically in the press conference today. I wish she would have. But Stephen Miller, Deputy Chief of Staff, who I don't know if you've had Stephen Miller on your show.
I never have, but he's certainly a wordsmith, and you don't want to battle with Stephen Miller, do you?
Not unless you really know what you're talking about,
right?
Because he will carve you up into little
yes,
bitty
he
meatballs.
Will. Right, yes.
Well, Miller said, here's the problem with the DOGE cuts and trying to cram it into the Big Beautiful Bill. It doesn't qualify under the Byrd rule in the Senate to be able to be counted in reconciliation, meaning it's...
Exactly.
The cuts that they're trying to do in DOGE are more systemic long-term, and it would have to be its own legislation, and it would be subject to a filibuster rule. Now, Monday, from my understanding, the White House is going to drop a rescission package of a lot of these DOGE cuts, and it's going to go through the House, and my guess is a lot of people in the House will go along with it. It may pass in the House. And then it's got to go to the Senate, and it's going to be glorious to watch all these Democrats say, no, we can't cut this, no, we can't cut that. And it's going to be a campaign issue, and I think it will actually work to the president's advantage long term. But those cuts have to go through normal order, not a reconciliation bill. So everything that you think you want in this bill, you're not going to get because it doesn't qualify. There
yeah.
are very arcane rules as to what can and cannot go into a reconciliation bill.
Yeah, and we talked about that a little bit in the last hour, and this is where it gets tough for people because you see a lot of the chirping already on Twitter and elsewhere about, okay, now you got to do your jobs. Well, the job is very, very nuanced here, and the numbers are very narrow. And I've made this case, and you and I have talked about this before. You talk about Lawler, you can talk about people out in California. Lawler's in a district that Kamala Harris won, right? He's a Republican in a district. So it's a different makeup than Jason Smith, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee, who was with us earlier this week talking about all this. But in the end, I guess my concern is manyfold, but I've said this for literally decades, so it's nothing new. There's no way to really get to the deep-seated issues with government spending without touching the entitlements. And there is no effort whatsoever. I know they're doing some changes with Medicaid that I would approve of with work requirements. But look, if we don't get to eventually, we keep kicking the can on Medicare and Social Security, we're not going to have any of this solved. So whatever you do with DOGE, whatever scalpel you want to take, it's not going to matter because it still grows on the healthcare front and the retirement front.
Absolutely right. And Trump has already decided, not on my watch, are we going to touch the third rail We can clean up a ton on in fraud and abuse and all that stuff, and that's great. We should do that as a matter of course anyway. But we are going to, as a culture, as a society, have to have a hard conversation about when Social Security was created and the retirement age was 65 and the average lifespan then was 67, so everybody was on it for maybe a year or two. Okay, that was sustainable. But now if the average lifespan is 73, 75, and you've got people that are living 95, 98, 100 years old and retiring at 65, if you're not having, families of 7, 8, 10, 12 kids to keep that going, the math is not going to work. You've got to do something different. You've got to raise the retirement age. It's not popular, but you got to do it.
So here's what's frustrating to me, and you've been doing this for a long time, and I've been doing this for a long time, and, people can believe what they want to believe, but I genuinely care about the issues that we talk about. And when it comes to government spending, it's what made me a conservative. I came up in the 80s. The first president that I voted for was Ronald Reagan. So I'll tell you a little story here, and you'll be easily able to guess who I'm talking about here probably in a matter of seconds. But round about 1997, actually that very year, I moved to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I would not describe myself at all as a policy wonk, but I'm certainly interested in issues. I get to know a guy who at that time is a freshman in 1998 and in the early parts of the 2000s was working his ass off as a disciple of Jack Kemp and as someone who deeply cared about changing the system and reducing government spending. He ended up being the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. He ended up running for vice president. He ended up being someone who you can't even mention the name of right now when we're having discussions. Paul Ryan. Exactly. So Paul Ryan, he's a rhino in MAGA world. He's a guy that you don't even want to admit to. I can barely admit to my listeners that I'm friends with the guy. But there's a guy who, in 2004 in particular, really, really tried to get Social Security reform across the finish line, and it failed. And you say, what you said is true. We've kicked the can every 4 years.
Right.
What would make any, I've been doing this now, I've been talking about entitlement reform for literally 30 years. Nothing has ever happened. So I have no faith that anything will ever happen. And then where does that leave my daughter, who's 10 years old, and the rest of the country?
Well, you need clearly like 6-7 more daughters.
Well, but your point about that is very good because look, we're not having as many kids and people are retiring and then we have young men who don't want to work. So this all combined really creates a difficult situation. I'm disappointed that Trump doesn't want to touch this because I think at a certain point, someone's going to have to be brave enough to say, and look, Paul Ryan made the mistake of being brave enough and then Granny was being thrown off the cliff. So who's going to have the intestinal fortitude to actually do something about this and have the numbers to do something about it? I can answer that question. It's rhetorical. Nobody.
Well, and that's the thing, is the only way you're going to do anything like that, forget the margins in the House. You need a little bit more margin in the House to be able to tolerate some of the peel off from people that are going to be queasy and not want to go with it. So you need a bigger margin in the House, but something like that, you need, 65 Republicans virtually to do that? Because of the 65, you're going to lose at least five that will never go for it because they're from, northeast states or bluish-tinging states that have a moderate Republican. And so, but you still need to get to 60. You've got to clear the threshold. Unless you can find somebody to make the argument that it is such a time constraint and a issue that we've got to fix right now or else that we're willing to kill the filibuster on it and go to the mattress for it, and we're willing to put this in and lose power in the next election as a punishment for it.
No one will do that. You know that. No one will do that. No one will do that. So that concerns me about the future. I'm all for going through a process that starts, picking off all this ridiculous spending and reduce spending. There's a really interesting piece, and I'm going to try to get him on the air, by a guy by the name of Joe Nocera. Do you know Joe at all?
I've heard of him, yeah.
He wrote at the Free Press, and the article is entitled Why Doge Failed. And he writes about Charlie Peters, who was the editor of the Washington Monthly, and he describes him as a connoisseur of bureaucracy. He was John F. Kennedy's West Virginia campaign manager, and he arrived in Washington to join the Peace Corps, which was very new. And he was handed this position, the first ever position in the federal government, and it was called Director of Evaluation. His job was literally to travel to locations that the Peace Corps was in, spend enough time there to get a read on what they were doing and what was working and what wasn't working. You know, this was Doge before Doge, and then report back to a guy that everyone knows, Sergeant Shriver. So his reports didn't endear him to the officials, but it gave him the insight into how bureaucracies work, or precisely really how they don't work. So this guy, Joe Nocera, who writes this piece, says, look, I've thought about this a lot recently because of Doge and the Big Beautiful Bill. And he says, if only Elon Musk had read the 1980 book, which is called How Washington Really Works, which it's described in that book that the focus of government agencies was to ensure that their budgets never shrank. So if a new department is created because of an emergency, hey, I can name one here, the Department of Homeland Security, it would become an entrenched part of the permanent government long after the emergency was forgotten, and the work bureaucrats, he wrote, could be best described as make-believe. It's a really good piece, and I'm going to try to get Joe on, but there's so many lessons in that because we've done that. I mean, Homeland Security is a great example of that. Has that made us safer at the airports? I think there's some questions about that. We create these big bureaucracies, and Dwayne, you know this, Republicans and Democrats do this together because they feel like they have to and they can campaign on these things. But a lot of these things are failures. That's why the Department of Education was created. We should get rid of it, right? Shouldn't be controversial. But it was along these lines.
Yeah, I totally agree with the concept here. I'm not willing to accept the premise that Doge has failed. Doge is still there.
Well, I agree with that. You're right.
I mean, just because Elon Musk, he could only have served for 5 months anyway, according to the without getting Senate approval or without having an appointment by the president, a special advisor from the outside can only be there for like 5-6 months or whatever the time frame was by statute. So he can only be there for a period of time.
No, and I understand that. You know, part of the point of what Joe Nocera was writing, that you can't fix government unless you know how it really works. And let's face it, President Trump didn't know how government worked in the first term. He's learned a lot since then.
Correct.
And I agree with you that Doge hasn't failed because you can't put the marker at right now. But you know as well as I do that there are a lot of people that are making threats to the Republicans saying, look, you better do your job right now. We're going to primary you. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. You're a rhino. All of this stuff, not understanding how complicated this process really is.
Right. And again, to be able to close down the Department of Education, you can shutter it. You can try to block grant it. You can do whatever else. And you've got to run the gauntlet of some judge in Wyoming somewhere or Washington State saying, I don't like this. And so you not only have to give back all the money you're cutting, you have to hire back everybody you laid off as part of the Doge overhaul. And I hereby make this a nationwide injunction until the Supreme Court finally gets the courts in their lane. You're not going to be able to have, even if you give Trump the credit that he's trying to do to clean up government, every single step along the way, a court is telling him, no, you can't do that, and suing him.
Yeah,
so, I mean...
One court says one thing, one court says the other thing. That's another obstacle right now.
Right.
I don't know what the answers are. I'm going to be joined here in a couple of minutes by one of our newer members of Congress, Bob Onder, and he's a fiscal conservative. There's no doubt about that. But he also understands the complications of the policy. But look, this is going to be very fascinating. For example, when you and I have a conversation in the fall of next year, because that's before the midterms, how much was really achieved? Because let's just face it, if you can't point to significant markers, the Democrats are going to use that against you. And they're going to try to win the House and the Senate, and then the math even gets more complicated.
Okay, well, let me counter. The counter would be if we get to fall next year and we have robust growth because of all the foreign investment that Donald Trump hauled in, some of that $5 trillion is already being spent, and we've got factories being built, we've got construction jobs going on, we've got people with higher paying jobs all over the country. Energy is flowing everywhere. The cost of living is not quite as high because the transportation costs aren't as high on all the goods moving around. And all of a sudden, economically, the country is just chugging along as far as its GDP. Well, you know, that's actually a pretty good case to make. And if spending is at least kind of in check, and we're not at $2+ trillion of deficit.
That's a W. That's a big win. There's no doubt. Right. I love your optimism. I love your optimism. I just hope that that's where we're heading. And, you know, this trade stuff is very difficult to understand. It's difficult to know exactly what's going on, because we've already seen some of the negotiation, the art of the deal. And I'm going to have to put my trust in the process. But the other part of this is the media is not going to tell you if all those things happened anyway. Let's be honest.
Mark, you and me are now the media. Is Jake Tapper really still the media?
Oh, my God. I know.
After this whole book tour, all he's been doing is saying, not my fault they lied to me, they lied to me. What does that make him as a journalist?
A liar.
Complicit.
Complicit.
If you're a Cub reporter in a city beat somewhere and you go to your editor and say, well, it's not my fault they lied to me. What are they going to do to you? They're going to fire you, right?
He's an embarrassment. Look, he is such an embarrassment. I have a little audio that I'm going to share in my audio cut of the day segment. Dwayne, thank you so much.
We are the media now.
All right, I like that a lot, the new media. I'm the old media and the new media combined. How about that?
Works for me.
All right, Dwayne Patterson, catch you later. Thank you. Bob Anders coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Bob Ander coming up here in just a minute. Let me play something. I love John Kennedy from Louisiana. Senator Kennedy, always a wordsmith himself, talking about the big, beautiful bill now that it's moved over to the Senate.
We'll end up passing something. I don't know what that something will look like. Senator Johnson makes some good points. We do need to work towards spending less in this bill. I'm not real crazy about the changes that the House made, for example, to the SALT deduction. I will support reducing spending to the point that we run out of votes. I mean, we've got to pass a bill. You know, some people have a greater appetite for reducing spending, I'm one of them, than others. Mm. But we'll get it done. If I were Senator Thune, though, I would give us a time limit. This bill's not like wine. It doesn't get better with age. Mm. We've got to wrap this up in about the next 60 days, and probably the president will have to get involved. It won't be unanimous on our side. Senator Paul, who I respect, Rand's not going to vote for anything ever. I mean, he's just not. And so you just got to throw that one away.
Well, and he referred to Senator Johnson. He's talking about Ron Johnson from Wisconsin. Listen, Senator Hawley is raising some concerns as well. Now, he's given a 60-day timetable there. That's a little longer timetable than the president, the White House, are giving right now. But let's talk with one of the newest members from Missouri's congressional delegation, Congressman Bob Onder from the 3rd District. Hello, Congressman. How are you this afternoon?
Doing great. Thank you. Good to be back.
I'm very curious about your perspective on all this. We haven't caught up here in a couple of weeks, and you're, if nothing else, a very fiscal conservative. So, but you also understand the reality, and I think you heard an allusion to that from Senator Kennedy. There's math involved here. You have to pass a bill. There's going to be some compromise and some sacrifices, but can we achieve what you think is important here in what is referred to the big, beautiful bill?
Sure, Mark. Well, I think when we ask, first of all, I had a week ago today, I faced the decision, do I vote for this bill or do I vote against this bill?
Right.
And yes or no. And I voted, of course, for this bill. Fundamentally, this bill is about one big question. There are a lot of other issues, but it is about whether we were going to renew the Trump 2017 Tax Cut and Jobs Act, or whether by letting it expire, we were going to raise taxes by $4.5 trillion on the American people, 22% tax increase for the average American family, which amounts to about $1,700. Were we going to let the small business tax deduction go away? Were we going to let the death tax increase, the family deduction go down? So it, fundamentally, the big, beautiful bill was a tax bill. Now, it was at the same time, it had to go through the reconciliation process, as you and your other guests discussed,
right,
which forced us to, quote, pay for those tax cuts. And I said, great, that means we're going to have to cut spending. And did this bill cut spending by as much as I would like? No, but it does cut some spending, and it does some other good things like defunding transgender clinics and defunding Planned Parenthood. It provides money for border security. It restores some sensible energy policy that I think will be a big driver of economic growth over the next decade. So I think overall it's a good bill. Is it as good as it can be? No. Do I think the increase in the SALT deduction is a little too generous? I do. And I'm with Senator Kennedy, as he said. I am for as much spending reduction as we can get. And it does have to come out of entitlements. One thing I've heard, you know, some criticism I've heard on social media of us House Republicans is that we are not doing enough of the DOGE cuts.
Right.
And as you and your guests discussed, most of the DOGE cuts are discretionary. We have to stick with mandatory. But yeah, there's a lot of room to cut mandatory spending in areas like our welfare programs and some of the ridiculous green energy subsidies of the Biden administration.
So Bob, I think a lot of people know this, but you're a physician, right?
Yes.
That is your background. And one of the dynamics that's at play here is Medicaid. And I don't know all the particulars about what happened, but what Senator Hawley has thrown a flag on is he's taking a stake and he's siding with some Democrats here on any cuts to Medicaid. Now, my understanding is that this is work requirement oriented, and we're trying to make sure that the people who genuinely need the help with Medicaid are getting the help. But what are your thoughts on what might happen there, or I guess what came out of the House and is moving to the Senate, what might, you know, come back to you here?
Yeah. So I've taken care of Medicaid patients for well over 30 years. And if you do not see that there is waste, fraud, and abuse in the Medicaid program, you have not paid attention. You have not dealt with Medicaid much. So the traditional Medicaid population, the truly vulnerable, elderly, the disabled, poor children, pregnant women, are completely unaffected by the big, beautiful bill we passed last week out of the House. The only population of Medicaid recipients affected by the big, beautiful bill are the able-bodied working-age adults who were given coverage under Obamacare. And in what way are we reforming their program? We're doing two things. One is we're checking eligibility. If you don't check eligibility, you are just inviting waste, fraud, and abuse. You're sending checks to managed care companies for people who don't live in your state, who may be dead, may be ineligible for other reasons. So we instituted required eligibility checks and then work requirements for those able to work, and very modest work requirements, I would add, 20 hours a week and volunteering, looking for work, qualify training programs, all qualify as work under the work requirements. So, you know, and I haven't talked directly to Senator Hawley about this, but at the same time, he says he's against Medicaid cuts. First of all, there are no Medicaid cuts, even under our bill.
That's Washington.
Our bill, over the next decade, Medicaid will increase by $1 trillion. I think we could do a lot more to reform Medicaid than we did in the bill. But he said he's open to cutting out waste, fraud, and abuse, and he's open to work requirements, which is what the House bill does. So I think some senators will come around, and I even think there are some House members who came around once they really saw, well, I would say, how little we did to reform Medicaid.
When Senator Hawley, he's referred to this increase, and I don't know what landed with the bill that got sent to them, but it was in theory going to increase what's referred to as beneficiary copays. And he says basically that's a hidden tax on working poor people who are trying to get health care. Can you explain that context?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one of the big problems with our Medicaid system today is that Medicaid card in a person's wallet is all-you-can-eat free health care. And with no copays, no deductibles, no coinsurance, I think everyone needs to have skin in the game. I've just seen, you or I or most of your listeners, when we think about, let's say, going to the ER because we, sprained our ankle, we're afraid it might be broken, we think twice because of our copay or our deductible for that ER visit. For Medicaid visit patients, it's free, and ER services get overutilized, pharmaceutical services get overutilized. I think some skin in the game, some modest copays, and in most cases they would be, very small, $1 or $2, $5. I think copays, we worked on this when I was in the Missouri legislature, would be a good thing in the Medicaid system. And those copays are always waived in the case of emergencies. That's a feature of our existing program.
Congressman Bob Onner is back with us. Let me take you into one different area here, because we've been talking on this show. I'm sure you followed a lot of the coverage of the Alex Thompson and the Jake Tapper book. And then today, Carolyn Leavitt even said this about the wife of the former president.
They were just on The View last week. She was saying everything is fine. She's still lying to the American people. She still thinks the American public are so stupid that they're going to believe her lies. And frankly, it's insulting, and she needs to answer for it.
Bob, I'm very curious about your position on the cancer diagnosis. And then the follow-up there would be, I mean, who was running the country for the past 4 years, and will there be hearings about this?
Well, look, in 2020, I said on many radio shows, many interviews, I said there's a reason they're keeping Joe Biden in the basement, and it has nothing to do with COVID. It's because of his incapacity. And at that time, what I thought was early dementia turned out I was right. Yep. Now he has moderate to severe dementia. I think I've talked to Congressman Greg Murphy, who is a urologist, treated prostate cancer for a living. He said that, remember how it was said that fortunately Biden's cancer is hormonally sensitive? Well, he said that test takes like 4 months to come back. So there's no way they just found out about this right now and also found out that it was hormonally sensitive. Yeah, the president of the United States has the best, most thorough health care in the world. There's no way it went from, he went from healthy, vibrant,
exactly,
outstanding,
yeah,
health to end stage metastatic cancer without anyone knowing about it. They're lying to us, Mark.
What about hearings? Do you think, I mean, it seems like that's where we're heading, to get some answers to what might have happened in the last 4 years. I mean, there's a lot on the table here because you're trying to pass a bill. You're trying to get some answers to questions.
Yeah.
What would your position be on that?
Oh, I think we should have hearings. I mean, I you know, the issue with hearings is, where do we start? Do we start with the Biden incapacity cover up, where the whoever was running the auto pen the last 4 years was in charge of our country? Do we start with the Fauci cover up of the COVID scandal? Do we start with the weaponization of the government against the Republican candidate for president and then the president himself? Where do we start? But yeah, I think we need to get to the bottom of this.
It really is a roulette wheel of, you know, very serious issues and questions that need to be answered. So I wish you good luck on that front, and we'll talk again very soon. Congressman Bob Onder, I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mark.
On the COVID front, I want to mention this because he's going to be with us tomorrow. I've said this several times on the air, and I firmly am passionate. I believe it. All this attention, and look, I'm just as guilty as everyone else in the mainstream media right now, where, although I think that we're the alternative media, we're giving a lot of air to the Jake Tapper book, to the Alex Thompson book, because we're seeing these revelations that finally the legacy media is coming to terms with. But David Zweig, who was a guest on the show about 5 weeks ago, wrote an outstanding book called An Abundance of Caution. And it's about Dr. Fauci and all those lies. And it exposes just as many, if not more, lies about what happened during COVID than what happened during this administration overall. And I feel very strongly, and this is why I invited David back on the show, that his book is as important, if not more important, because the Alex Thompson stuff, it's sexy. We can talk about Joe stumbling around and everything. But the way that we were deceived on the COVID front, the way that the media did not do their job on that, Ron Johnson, who we mentioned a little bit earlier, he's a senator from Wisconsin. He outlined some things in the Senate last week on the COVID front that are just absolutely outrageous, that still haven't been given any air in the legacy media because the news cycle is so busy. I won't even blame him completely because the news cycle is very busy. But David's going to be here in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow for some good follow-up questions on that topic, because I think it's important.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The day is coming up. Oh, I was in the mood for a little knack today.
I love it.
What do you say about that? I often refer to, and I have to dig up this picture. I lost a photo album that has a lot of my fun stuff, my backstage passes, photos with bands from the 80s. But I have a picture from my bedroom dresser from 1980, I would say, circa 1980. And there's a turntable and a receiver. And there's about, I would say, maybe 25 records, right? You can't even see what they are. But I guarantee you that was one of the records.
Oh, of course
it
was.
Of the first 25 that I had. By the way, when we go out of the show, it's got a great guitar part, and we'll leave you with that here in a second. We have a roundtable tomorrow. That's going to be fun. Jane will be back. A lot to talk about. John Gaskin's on the panel. Gene Evans. Paul Hall with some entertainment recommendations. Cusimano will be here to talk a little baseball. Scotty Warman's going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour before the series with the Rangers. I always like to catch up with him. We might touch on some hockey as well. And then I mentioned David Zweig's going to be here in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, on the audio cut of the day front, I'm going to bring it full circle to a certain extent.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
I find this remarkable. And, you know, yeah, I'm giving a lot of air to Jake Tapper in particular, because he's such a hypocrite. And Alex Thompson's name is not as well known. But every time I hear a clip like what I'm about to play, I'm just stunned, not only that this guy is such a hypocrite, because he should have known some of these things all along. Because in the aftermath of what really started ruining part of St. Louis, Ferguson and Mike Brown in 2014, all of this became about race, right? And then the cops were the bad guys. They were always the bad guys. Jake Tapper was on there preaching at people about white supremacy and about bad cops and giving air to people like Cori Bush and now Jasmine Crockett. It's disgusting. So then how do you match that up with what I'm about to play to you, what he told on a podcast about his son?
I went on a left-leaning podcast that shall remain nameless, and we were talking about my kids, because I think they were both people without kids, and they asked me about my son, and I said he was, you know, he's a football player and he wants to be a policeman. And their joke was about my 15-year-old son, oh, how does he feel about minorities, like the idea that he wants to be a policeman, therefore he's racist, my son. And, like, you know, that was the big laugh. And then I got dragged in the comments and all that stuff. And I thought to myself, this is why you are losing elections.
100%.
You thought to yourself then, okay,
really?
we've been talking about it for a long time. Okay, and that's what Tashara Jones was all about. That's what Kim Gardner was all about. That's what Cori Bush is all about. And by the way, I'm not completely convinced that the new mayor isn't all about that, because she's a progressive as well.
Like, my football-playing son, who has no political views, he's 15, he thinks about World War II and gaming and playing linebacker. That's his world. You're deciding he's a racist because he wants to be a cop. And why does he want to be a cop? He wants to be a cop because he wants to help people, you know, and he thinks that's the best way he can help people. And that's how the Democratic Party talks to men, not just white men, but men. And I mean, I get the idea that they thought Tim Walz what's the term he used? Code switch or something? He thought that he could translate the Democratic Party values because he hunts and fishes and owns a gun and was in the army and drinks a beer. I mean, at least there was an attempt. But I find it just insane.
But who is that guy? Is that the real Jake Tapper?
Yeah, which one is real?
Right, because what he said there makes a lot of sense. And by the way, some points there for his son being interested in World War II.
Yeah,
I find that very impressive, and I wish a lot of kids would. But that's the guy that's been preaching at us. That's the guy who told Lara Trump, in 2020, oh, you're just making all this up. Who's the real Jake Tapper? That guy sounds like one of us, who understands these issues, who's concerned about what the progressives have turned this country into. But I don't know if that's the real Jake Tapper, or if he's just trying to sell books at this point. Uh-oh, we lost something here. I might have pressed something twice. Damn it, and I had that knack music ready to go here.
Oh, man.
What happened to my knack music, Ethan? Did I? Okay, I think he's going to put it back, because damn it. Let's see if I can get this right now. Let's see. Oh, there we go. Whew, that was going to ruin my whole night. See, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
You got it.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music. or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.